for that. All right. I'm excited about this word tonight. I need to tell y'all what God is doing in the atmosphere. Who wants to hear what God is doing in the atmosphere? Yes. Yes. Let me tell you what he is doing. He's shifting some things. He's doing a major shift here because we're getting ready to come into 2019. And so tonight, he wants you to learn about how to hold your position while he starts shifting some things. So I want to do some teaching tonight on how to hold your position. Now look at these nice little people here. They're having themselves a banquet. I always like the banquet pictures, and it's not because I like to eat a lot of food, but I do. But I like the banquet pictures because it's family, and God decided to birth a family. He decided to have a family, and we're a part of his family. And he invites us to come to his banquet table. And he has so much good food at the banquet table. Like, it's such good stuff, you haven't even tasted it on earth yet. But at his table, there's seats for everybody. And see, when you come to the banquet table, you've got to find your seat. See, there's a seat with your name on it. And when you come up to the table, you find the seat that's got your name on it. I'm picturing that it is embossed with your name. It's gold. It's got an embossing on it. And it says, it's your chair. And you come up to this table and you sit down at this table and you are ready to receive the Lord's banquet. And God is calling you to hold your position at that table. Now, why is this message so important? Well, you're going to find it's important for a lot of different reasons, but there is a special holiday next Thursday called Thanksgiving, right? And y'all going to be sitting around a table with all y'all's happy families. Oh, yeah, everybody's got a really happy family. Come on. Come on. You ain't got nobody in your house that's stirring up strife. There ain't nobody that's gossiping. There ain't nobody that's talking bad about anybody in your house. And you're going to be asked to have dinner with them. Y'all going to be coming to sit around the table and give all the thanksgiving to the Lord. All the while, you wish you weren't sitting next to the person that you're sitting next to. Come on. I'm talking to somebody. See, when God talks to us about holding our position, what he's saying is, I have some fruit that I want to bear in and through you this time of year, next week, Thanksgiving dinner. I got some fruit that I want to bring forth in the midst of the people that you're going to be sitting with. I got some fruit that I want to bring forth in the midst of your circumstances that look difficult right now. God says he's got some fruit that he is bearing in and through us. And who bears the fruit? Do you bear the fruit? No, God bears the fruit. God bears fruit when we surrender to him. He brings it forth. And so when he tells us to hold our position, he's telling us to hold our position because he's made all this provision for us. And he wants us to stay right there, no matter what's going on around us. No matter what the family member on the right or the left is saying about you, no matter who's stirring up strife in your home, no matter what kind of craziness is going on, God wants you to hold your position. See why? Because he intends to show somebody fruit that comes straight from the Lord, and you happen to be the one he wants to bear it through. Look to your neighbor and say, God wants to bear himself some fruit. Come on. He happens to have chosen you. Come on, you're going to be the one that's going to bear some fruit. Uh-huh. He chose you. Now, John chapter 15 says this. I am the vine and ye are the branches. We the ye. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. okay? Without him, we cannot bring forth anything. And the word says, if a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So here is how my Father is glorified, that we, the ye, bear much fruit, so that we would be his disciples. As a father has loved Jesus, so has he loved us, and we need to continue in his love. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now, when God says, hold your position, here's the thing. He's saying, right now, I know and see the craziness that might be going on around you. However, I need you to stay seated at the banquet table, resting in me and receiving from me, because I want to bring forth something in the earth that's going to change the circumstance. And you happen to be the person at the table that I've chosen for this task. I know you want to give up your seat for someone else. But he says, hold your position. It was funny because God began to speak this word to me. And it wasn't even dawning on me till even tonight in worship. This morning, I called my daughter to sing happy birthday to her. My oldest daughter's 24 years old today. So today, I was holding my position in Iceland. I was holding my position, and God was bringing forth some fruit. Mm-hmm. That fruit was Alexandria Marie. But the whole entire time this message was written, I wasn't thinking about Alexandria's birthday. It just dawned on me tonight in worship, because God gave me a picture of the fact that when he intends to bring forth something, you've got to hold your position, because you can't be bringing forth fruit if you're squirming all over the place. You got to stay in the place that he's called you to be. You got to stay there. No matter if he begins to start to change circumstances around you, you've got to stay in a position. As the turkey is getting passed around, as the drinks are getting passed around, as the butter's getting passed around, you stay in your seat. The food is coming to you. You're called to hold your position so that he can bring forth the fruit that is going to change the atmosphere. That is going to do the very thing that he intended for it to do through only one person. Who's that one person? You. You're the chosen one. Now, why is it so important? Why do I keep stressing hold your position? Because here's the deal. Here's the second part to what God wants you to know. Is he is pouring out new wine from the vats of heaven. When God pours out new wine, what that means is he's making new opportunities. It means that he's seizing areas and he's getting ready for you to step into those areas. But at this moment, right now, he needs you to hold your position, because there's some more stuff he needs to bring in and through you before he opens up the new opportunity that's coming. See, when the vats are open and the heavenly wine is pouring, it's saying this is a new wine and I am getting ready to seize opportunity for you and for me. But I'm going to test you in this position to see if you'll stay right where you're at so I can bring forth some fruit there. I'm not yet done with you in the position that you're in. Does anybody understand what I'm saying in this place? See, our thoughts are off and on. Well, what is God going to do tomorrow? What is God going to do next week? What is God going to do next month? What is God going to do next year? Well, I can tell you, God's going to do some amazing things in all of that time. But today he says, hold your position. Now, when the word says abide in him, what that word abide means is to stay in one place. It means don't be getting all shifty yourself. It means you're going to rest with God where you're at. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I got to stay where I'm at. OK? Come on, nobody gave birth who was moving all around and trying to get off the table. They be telling you, get back down and put your legs up. That baby's coming. You may be squirming on the table. Fine, squirm in your seat, but stay there. Now, that word bringeth forth in the Greek means to bear or carry. It comes from a root word. There's continual root Greek words from this one word, Pharaoh, which is the word bringing forth in the scripture. There's many words. There's karpos, harpazos. Just bring it down, okay, about bringing forth fruit. But the last deeper root word that there is the word a hero, which means to take away sin. It's very much like the word nasa in the Hebrew, which is to lift up or arise. Also means bring forth, okay? So whether you're in the Greek, which is the New Testament, or in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, these words are synonymous. So when we read in the scriptures that we are to hold our position, we are to abide in him so that he can bring forth fruit, it means that something's coming from your life that's going to take the pain away from another person. There's something coming from your life that is going to deal with the issues of sin in and around you, is going to deal with strongholds, demonic forces, is going to set the captives free, is going to change the environment. And your responsibility is to hold your position there so that God can bring forth the fruit that is going to change the atmosphere and the people in the atmosphere. Oh, I know they've been talking bad about you. I know they've been challenging you. I know they've been saying all kinds of things that aren't right. You don't want to bless them with nothing. But the fact of the matter is, you're just a body, and God's the one that bears the fruit. He wants to bless them. He wants to deal with them. He wants to show them their sin was taken on the cross by Jesus Christ. And you're the closest example that there is. Hold your position. Does anybody understand what I'm saying in the house today? Listen, I know you want to get set free and get out of your nasty situation right now, but there's proper timing for certain things, and God's going to move you out. Hear me. He's moving you out, but he's not doing it this week. Not this week. This week, he wants you to hold your position. Now, what do I mean by that? That doesn't mean that things aren't going to shift for you this week, but you're still going to have a foot in. You're still going to have a place where you got to hold down as he begins to start to talk to you about what's getting ready to come. He's testing you to see if you're going to stay in that place and enjoy him as he comes and brings forth what is needed for the people around you. See, there comes a time where your mantle and your anointing is ready to step into new places, but it's only when you hold your position at a certain place is God getting you ready to walk in a greater anointing. See, you won't even know what kind of fruit can be born through you until you stay somewhere for a period of time and allow God to bring it forth. God will hold us in certain places because he's strengthening the mantle and the anointing on our life. You might feel like you're a big fish in a really small pond, but guess what? Eventually, God's going to move you to a bigger aquarium. It's just not today. It's just not right this second. Why? Because as you begin to bear fruit right where you're at, then the anointing begins to flow stronger in and through your life. You begin to bring forth the fruit that God has always intended for you to bring forth, but you kept complaining and kept trying to get out of that fish tank and get into the other one when he wasn't ready for you to be moved yet. Am I talking to anyone in this house? Now, part of your frustration because you want to get to the new place is necessary, okay? Because you got to start asking him so that he will begin to move you. See, he will not move you unless you begin to ask. So he begins to allow some circumstances to be frustrating, so you'll begin to cry out and say, God, I need out of this thing. God, you've got to change something. God, I'm not happy here. God, I don't like this very much. What are you doing? Maybe you start feeling too big for your britches. I got all this anointing and not enough space to use it. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but what God is saying to you is you need to keep it in one spot, because he's cooking you a little bit longer, and the fruit that's coming forth is going to be really, really big. But if you keep trying to get yourself out of this place and get yourself into another place and cause all that frustration for you and everybody around you, then you're going to miss the place that God wants you to be, and you're going to miss the blessing that he wants to bring forth through you. You also never know the strength of the anointing on your life until you have been pressed beyond measure. See, you can talk a really good game, but it don't show up until the circumstances get tough. Nobody knows how much fruit God intends to bear until all of a sudden you're faced with a circumstance that is bigger than you know what to do with. But it's then that if he said it and he put the anointing and the mantle on your life, then he's going to prove himself true when you do what? When you hold your position. Now, this position that you're holding is not an earthly position. I know you look around yourself and you say, well, I live in this environment and this is my house and all this. No. Anointings flow from a heavenly place, from a supernatural place, from a spiritual place. See, let me tell you a little bit about anointing. Let me tell you a little bit about mantles. See, a mantle is on somebody's life because God put it there. It's not on your life because of good works that you happen to do, because then it'd be about you. It's on your life because God called you, anointed you, set you apart, and you said yes. And then when circumstances began to come, you began to open up your heart and your mind to hear the teaching and respond to what he was saying. And then the mantle began to grow. See, people with the mantle and anointing, they don't lose their place. The gifts of God are irrevocable because they didn't earn it, so they can't lose it for poor performance. The mantle and the anointing come from God. And so therefore, his word says it's irrevocable. So he doesn't play the game like, I'm going to give it to you, I'm going to take it away from you. I didn't like what you did, so I'm going to That's not our God, okay? That's not how he operates. If he said it, you have delegated authority. And when you respond in that mantle, you change your environment because of the mantle and the anointing that's on your life. So when God says, I want to bear fruit through you, no matter what's going on around you, or no matter what you think about yourself from the level of confidence, it doesn't matter. God's called you, anointed you, appointed you, set you apart. Hold your position while he does what he needs to do. We had a Costa Rica meeting the other night, and Mark Smith came in and said, God's been showing me 3:23, and God began to speak to Mark about this. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. When you work unto the Lord. You do not work unto men. Okay? I know you think you're serving Pastor Adam when you come in here to help out, but you don't work for him. You're serving Jesus. And everyone gets the benefit, including him, because he has a mantle and an anointing, and he's been called to do a certain thing. He ain't been called to do everything. He's just been called to do a certain thing. See, that's why the body is necessary. It's because that man's not called to do everything. I called it God. Everybody knows in this place there's a very few things I'm called to do. So we all got limited sphere of influence. But the truth of the matter is, the mantle and anointing is positioned where it is because God wants to bring something forth to change the world through you. And he's going to stretch you in that process. And as you begin to squirm, he doesn't want you out of your chair, because the power comes from staying at the royal banquet with him, eating off of his table, no matter how crazy things are looking around you. I know you think you should pay for your seat, or maybe there's something you might need to do in order to stay in that place. No, this is not works, and this is not performance. He puts you at the table, rest with the king, let him do the rest of the work. So we got to change our thinking. When he says hold your position, he's talking about the fact that I want to bring forth some great things in and through you. But I need you to stay seated and allow the mantle anointing to flow. I need you, God says, I need you to enjoy me while I do what I have to do in and through you. Now, what do you think of that? You come to the royal banquet. You didn't even need to cook it. Nobody's asking you to stay after and do the dishes. Because remember, you're in the royal palace, right? You even got a seat with your name on it. And all he says is, enjoy me and watch me do the rest. I'm sorry, folks, but sign me up for that gig. I want to be at that table where I get to rest with the king and he does it in and through me. But everyone wants to do it their way. They don't want to do it his way. And his way, he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then I will bring forth much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But I don't know where we get that wrong. We think, oh, I'm just going to go off on my own and I make this happen. It don't matter what your mantle is. You're not going to make nothing happen. If you got a mantle anointing and a call on your life, the only way it's fueled is by relationship with him. He's offering you the better thing. Don't take the lesson thing by having to do it when you could rest in him and have him do it. If you can enjoy him and have him do it, then you got the best deal. He tells us, if, in verse 7, if we abide in him and our words abide, his words abide in us, if we ask what we will, it shall be done unto us. Now, this is what I'm talking about. When you're in that place, you need to start praying while you're holding your position. Because he wants you to start to ask for what's needed so that the king can come and work in and through you to meet that need. That's where we get prophetic utterance, or that's where we get prophetic intercession, is we began to speak forth the oracles of the Father, and that prepares us for what he's getting ready to do. Listen to your prayers and you will begin to understand the next thing that God is getting ready to do in your life. Everyone's speaking, but nobody's listening. If you listen to what you're saying, you're going to be able to know what God is getting ready to do. Now, in verse 11, 10 and 11, he talks about keeping his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we can abide in his love. And as he kept his Father's commandments and abide in his Father's love. So he's showing his example. Now listen, if you hold your position, you're going to be able to keep his commandments. Because he is the one that has kept all of the commandments and lives on the inside of you. Just take a breather and rest while he does the rest. These things, Jesus says, I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. So, where does joy come from? Comes from him. When we do what? When we abide in him. When we come to the table and we sit with him and we eat with him and we talk with him, then the joy comes. The joy does not come by getting up from the table every 5 minutes wondering what everybody needs, what's going on, how's this going to get fixed, why is this happening to me? Fill yourself with worry, fill yourself with anxiety, fill yourself with pressure, depression, oppression. There ain't no joy in that, and he didn't even tell you to do that. Who told you to do that? Who told you to do that? Where did you get that? That is the proper way to be. Now, according to the scripture, we're to be holding our position while he bears fruit in and through us. And there our joy will come. People talk about, I need more joy in my life. If you need more joy in your life, then abide in him. And if you don't know how to abide, ask him. God, show me this principle. What is this abiding thing? I don't even know what I'm doing here. Just be honest with him. He's training you. He wants you to have joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's it. Do you know when the devil comes to ravage you with depression, oppression, everything? And listen, you know, the greatest of the Bible heroes had moments where they wanted to throw in a towel. Okay, let's just get real. There's stories about all of them. Man, they all wanted to quit at some point or another. They all had somebody they loved, too, that wanted to kill them. God bless. Can you imagine that table? You sitting with all your sons and daughters, and you don't know which one is about ready to put the poison in the wine, and you're going to be gone because they want to take over the throne. Come on, how painful is that? They had their moments too. But here's the key. They didn't stay there. See, there's a difference to have a moment. Everybody can have a moment, and I'm talking a quick one. Why am I saying a quick moment? I'm saying a quick moment because if Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood that we might be raised, what gives God joy? That you're hovering down in the corner, all scared to death of what's coming after you, what kind of circumstances are happening, or because you're standing up praising him in the midst of what is taking place? What gives God the joy on the inside of him? Does anybody ever think about what makes God happy? We all think about what makes us happy. But what about what makes God happy? See, you got to have a heart for the Father. I hear people all the time, they want to be great prophets, but they don't know the heart of the Father. You don't know the heart of God. You shouldn't be speaking to anybody about him. Because all you're going to be doing is giving them law and lies. Know the heart of the Father. How do you find the heart of the Father? You got to sit with the Father. You got to let the Father love on you. You got to love back on the Father. You got to talk to him. You got to worship him. You got to exercise a spiritual discipline so you can get in that place where you can speak on behalf of the Father. Why would the Father give an utterance that makes a difference in the life of somebody if they didn't know his heart? He's not. So how do we find the heart of the Father? When you hold your position, when you sit at the banquet table with him, when you talk about the things that you need to talk about with him, when you allow him to love on you. Let's call the band up. When you allow him to love on you. Yes, allow him to love on you while you hold your position. There are whole seasons in people's healings where they do nothing but allow God just to love on them because they're so broken in their soul. There are whole seasons in your life where that's all you'll be doing is sitting in the grace of God and allowing him to love you. You'll be serving, but you're not going to be serving to gain. You're going to be serving because it's an overflow of the fact that you just were with him. And there was so much love there that it came forth. God wants you to know that this place at the table, he bought for you. He bought it. He paid for your seat. He supplied all the food. He gave you everything you needed to come and do what? Just to love on him. He invited you to come to the banquet so that he could love you and you could love him. And then he would bear fruit through you because of that love. You might look at yourself and think, I'm not worth it. I mean, I'm not worth all that. Like, how did I get myself a position at a table? He doesn't see it that way. His son is evidence of the value that we all have to him. Jesus' death on the cross is, and Jesus died for the whole world, okay? Not just for the people that accepted him. Although the people that accepted him get the benefit. He wants you to come and be with him so he can bring it forth through you. Now, this is what he's doing this week, and I'm challenging you for next week when Thanksgiving comes around. Oh, I'm telling you, you and your family want to have a good time. God wants that for you too. There's a real enemy. He want to mess up Thanksgiving dinner. He just waiting for the open door. But. Y'all too smart for that, right? Y'all too smart. If he starts coming in on Aunt Edna, who's complaining about the fact the turkey wasn't cooked the way she wanted it, you just smile and say, well, that's all right. We got ham. Why don't you try a ham? See, you're going to get tested. But God said, hold your position. He is life. That table is filled with life. It is overwhelmingly filled with life, and it breathes life. And those of us that choose to partake of that table, we will be life givers. We will bring life to other people. You might even be shot down for bringing life to somebody. But here's the deal. Your job is to be the person that God bears fruit through. You need to ask him this week, how do I properly position myself, Lord, by holding myself there? How do I do that? How do I do that so that you can bring forth what you want to bring forth in this week? Because when you get through with this week, I'm telling you right now, the opportunity is getting ready to come for you to shift into the next area that God has for you. See, the shift is here. The test is where you hold your position while he begins to work out the details for the new wine that is coming into your life and into your arena. The new seizing of opportunities that he is positioning you for by staying in your seat. By not getting involved and holding your position, he's making a way. He's paving it for you. So when the dinner is done and you are called to get up and start walking, the opportunity is going to be there that you've been asking him for. Can I get an amen in the house? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? See, he's given you the plan right here. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord when we know what he's doing. Hallelujah. I'm just going to praise him by myself. Nobody got to join me in the praise, because I'm just going to praise him myself. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for what you are doing. You're asking us to come to the dinner table with you. You're asking us to sit with you as you come and you bear fruit in very difficult environments that we might be surrounded in. Father, we thank you that we are life givers and we're going to bring forth life, Father, because you're going to do it in and through us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that every ounce of life that comes through us, Lord, is going to shut down the enemy and properly position us for the opportunities that are coming before us. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We receive this word in the name of Jesus, and we all say amen.